flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not the end of everything, okay. It's just the end of everything you know.
Why are we doing this?
It's just the end of everything.
Sad.
You know.
This is a very sad time, Kevin.
I was already sad.
It's a song called Bicycle Versus Car by Bob Schneider, and I think it completely embodies the moment, Kevin. It's not the end of everything. Just the end of everything, you know. It does feel like we were on a bicycle and a car rammed right through us. Now, Mike, I know you got to introduce the show and everything, Kevin, but Mike, last week you
made fun of Anthony Davis. I can't believe he got hurt again. And now 5 days later we have him.
You fixed the Rangers radio or TV network. You fixed all of it.
Yep.
And now it's time for everybody to ask you, how are you going to fix this? This is a situation that we need your help fixing. So I'd appreciate that, Mike. Thanks, Kevin.
Not fixable.
Let me have this soapbox.
I don't mind trading Luka, Kevin. I have no complaint about trading Luka. I understand all of his faults. To get what you got,
yeah,
is disgraceful.
Because if you were going to make that trade ever in your mind, it was for 7,000 picks.
Okay.
Never for a player swap like this.
So let's use the other big NBA news of the weekend, which actually feels like oddly irrelevant.
I honestly don't know if I know what it is.
I stopped following Shams.
And you know what? By the way, for people that are curious, yes, the Stars made what I believe could be a damn fine trade on Saturday.
They're all in.
But it doesn't.
They even said it on their Twitter.
It doesn't matter.
Got McDavid?
So
not that all in.
Yeah, we did. And we traded our backup goalie, yeah, Smith, to make it happen. Yeah, it was great. So I'm going to boil it down to like some of the essentials. And I know there were other players in this, like Huerter and Zach Collins and stuff. But essentially, De'Aaron Fox is going to San Antonio. Now, the Bulls are in this mix, and the Bulls do get a first-round pick back, or they just get their own first-round pick back in 2025. But to make this happen, the Sacramento Kings get Zach LaVine, a 2025 first-round pick. By the way, that's this year, kids, in case you're curious. I know it is top 14 protected, but that's this year. A second-round pick this year, a first-round pick in 2027, a second-round pick in 2028, and a second-round pick in 2028. Now, what I want to point out with that is that De'Aaron Fox is a darn good player.
He is a darn good player.
He is not.
It took a while.
Yeah.
It took a minute for him to really become who he is.
He is not in Luka's league. And let's point this out. Zach LaVine might be having the best season of his career. And in return for De'Aaron Fox, the Kings got Zach LaVine and count it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 draft picks, all of which they get before the Mavericks get their one pick. I'm going to say that again.
By the way, the Mavericks traded a pick, too.
Yes, they did. I'm going to say it again for the people in the back. The Sacramento Kings got 5 picks, 2 firsts, and 3 seconds, all of which they get before the Mavericks get the 1 pick that they got for Luka. Now, I know Anthony Davis is a damn fine player. I'm not here to dispute that. I understand that the Mavericks had issues with Luka. But to make this trade and not shop it around, to me, Mike, you just said it. I'm in total agreement with you. It's GM malpractice, as one article said, and it's tough to argue against that. Mm-hmm. And I know there's going to be a whole lot more to this. I just feel like we're missing the one key piece that I just don't understand, that nobody can seem to tell me, because I talked to a whole lot of people and they're like, oh, it could be this, could be that, could be whatever this weekend. But I haven't got anybody who's definitively said, well, it's because of this. You just can't say that on air.
It's
I haven't found out what that piece is.
It's negligence. It is professional misconduct, dereliction of duty, if you will.
Yeah.
It's all of those things that you just said regarding malpractice. You just don't, you don't do it that way. Every businessman out there goes and finds leverage somehow. Instead of taking the first, you go to a car dealership and they're just like, hey, we're going to give you this car for this price. And you're like, deal. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate that. No, that's not how you do it. You say, I'd like to, Alec, whenever you bought your car, did you take the first price that they gave you?
Nope.
See, you work it. You work the deal.
Yeah.
And they didn't work a deal at all. By the way, Myles Garrett has requested a trade. So maybe the Cowboys can win the city back.
No. We can do this. I will give you DeMarcus Lawrence. Don't worry about the fact that he's not going to be under contract. I can avoid year. I can pretend it's a contract year. But I will give you DeMarcus Lawrence and conditional 6-round pick. Let's make it happen, Cleveland.
So that's improvement.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah, I bet that is kind of what the Cowboys do think. You know what? That's a great example. The Mavericks traded Luka for what the Cowboys seem to think every free agent should be willing to sign with here.
I don't even think the Cowboys would have made this kind of trade. Honestly,
you might be right.
I know that GM was not making a trade like that. For one, he loves stars too much. He loves star players. He would never make a trade like that for any reason. You couldn't offer him enough. And there was a time where I thought you couldn't offer the Mavericks enough. You couldn't offer them anything. It was ridiculous. It was laughable to even consider that Luka wouldn't be in a Mavericks jersey. That was a laugh. Anytime people would say it, I would laugh in their face and knock their drink on the ground and then help them pick the drink up and then knock it down again because it sounded that stupid. And here we are with a GM that was like, I think this is the best thing for the team. It's my job to make tough decisions here.
Now, Corey, you said that people fall into one of two categories, how they found out about this trade. Either...
Oh, yeah. I guess Jerry did trade Amari Cooper for a fifth or sixth round pick, so maybe he would.
This is even worse than that. But yeah, actually, I could
see
that.
It's not trading Amari Cooper.
All right. You know what? Let's trade Micah.
It's Joe Burrow. It's trading Joe Burrow for that.
Joey Bosa. Yeah.
For Dak Prescott. Yeah.
Actually... Yes. So I was not in the category that was still awake, nor was I in the category of people who found out in the morning. I went to sleep early on Saturday because I hadn't been feeling super well and I was supposed to rest my voice and stuff like that. Then my phone rang at about midnight. Well, Brandon was working, so I always check my phone to see if it's Brandon. It was not Brandon. And I was like, what the hell? Why is somebody calling me at midnight? So, didn't answer that call. Looked at my phone, and it said, you have 17 text messages. And I was like, what the hell? Why? Zoop. Swipe up. A bunch of the text messages, because you get like the preview text in there, and it was like, this isn't real, right? This can't be real. What the hell is going on? And it wasn't, if it was just one person, and the first person I clicked on, I was like, that's stupid. You're stupid for thinking this is real. And then I clicked on the next one and it was the same thing about the Luka trade and the next one. And then I clicked on our station text, which all started with Tim getting us fired up to go to Radio Row.
Hey, dude.
As we should be.
Let's go.
And it quickly devolved into, what the hell are the Mavericks doing? And then I was like, hold on, what? This is real? And then I spent like the next 2 hours thinking about it, reading about it, tweeting about it. listening to that Bob Schneider song and trying to make my peace with it before I went back to sleep. And then in the morning, my wife goes, "Wow, did you know that Luka got traded?" I was like, "Yes. Yes, I did."
I spent most of the morning, Mike, explaining to my wife that it was her fault that this happened because, and she was like, "No, it's not. Just because I woke you up and told you the news doesn't mean that it's my fault." And I was like, "You're the one that gave me the news." I was asleep. I went to bed at around 11 o'clock that night. Woke up. She's shaking me. "Hey, the Mavericks just traded Luka." I said, "Shut up. Go back to sleep. This is
stupid. My wife is stupid."
Pretty much is what I was thinking at the time.
Oh, my goodness.
And
that's what I thought about my son.
And then, and that's what happened. Mike, she could have let me sleep another hour, sleep another 45 minutes, and live in a world where for 45 more minutes, we still had Luka. But she decided it was time to wake me up and say, "Let me give you spoiled news. Let me ruin your Sunday by telling you what just happened." And then the rest of the day, Mike, everywhere I went, and Alec and I have discussed this, everywhere I went, people could tell that I was pissed off about something. They could see it on my face because I would just shake my head no. Just at the thought of what just happened. "No, there's no way that happened, idiots," is what I was going through my mind all day long.
Yeah, well, I just can't, I can't take it. Like, the NBA was a struggle for me this year, and now I'm just like, I can't do this.
Can you start that again? If, let's just say people miss crosstalk or whatever. Can you go back to kind of like your mission statement and everything? Because this didn't just happen on Saturday.
This was before the Luka trade. I was just like, man, the NBA, watching Spencer Dinwiddie and Maxi Kleba jack up like a combined 10 three-pointers a game. Like, they're not good shooters. And then you're watching 83-point shots a game, and you're watching, you can double dribble, you can carry the basketball. It's a four-step league now. You can actually triple jump, and they're like, "It's fine. You've jumped three times, but it's fine." You can pick up your pivot foot multiple times. It doesn't, like, this just, this isn't super entertaining. And then players don't play much. And then when they do play, you're wondering, are they caring about this game at all?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is tough, but I do love the Dallas Mavericks. They are my favorite team, or were my favorite team. Look, I appreciated Luka at times, hated Luka at other times, and I wasn't watching other NBA basketball games. I would turn on TNT or turn on ESPN. I'd watch 3 minutes and go, "This isn't entertaining to me. I don't know what's happening to me. This was my sport that I loved watching the most. This sport is losing its entertainment value for me." And now with this news, with Luka now gone and the Mavs' future ruined, like their future is really, really bad. I'm like, I'm done. I don't need to watch it. I have no connection to Anthony Davis. Don't care about him. I don't hate him. I don't care about him. Kyrie, he's been great, but he's not a Maverick. Like, he's gone everywhere. It's fine. Yeah. Kyrie's been great. Nothing against Kyrie, but I'm not watching Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving. I don't care about it. I don't think it's going to work out, because I think they're going to struggle with injuries the next 2 years and then become a consistent lottery team. And I'm like, I don't need to go through this. I don't really like watching the sport anymore. I don't have superstars that I love. I don't like watching Anthony Edwards shoot 11 three-pointers a game. I'm not even making up that number. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a true number. Like, it's not fun. So I'm like, all right, if it's not fun, what's the point?
I do want to say, and I heard you yesterday, Kevin. I found out I heard you, and I heard you, Mike, yesterday. Our station was awesome yesterday. Like, wow. That was fantastic work by all of our weekend hosts yesterday. Phenomenal job. But Kevin, you had, he was fun to watch. You had a special dude on the court. You knew every time that he took the court, he was the best player on the court that night, or arguably the best player on
unless
the court.
Unless they played Denver, I'm with you.
Either way, you knew that you were walking into a game and you were feeling confident that you were going to win, and you gave that up. Everybody, every GM searches their life to find that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Nico said, "You know what? I want to see what life's like without it." And that has every person in DFW that has ever paid attention to the Mavericks baffled right now.
Look, this is probably something that we can expand on throughout the show. I'm just curious. I want to start with you, Mike. I don't think it would have made a difference, but I just want to check. If it was something more like, sub out Max Christie and we'll put in Dalton Knecht. So it was Anthony Davis, Dalton Knecht, three first round picks and like one or two first round swaps. Would that have made any difference? Because one of the things you mentioned that I definitely agree with is the future part. Would that have made a difference? Because then you're like, well, this sucks to lose Luka, but now I got my two first round picks this year or whatever. And then another one in 26, 27, however it would, or 28, however it would have broken down.
Yes, I wouldn't have been in love with the trade still. I think Anthony Davis is close to the end of his career. It would have made more sense, especially if you'd have said, what if I would have told you they almost said yes to Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a first round pick? And you're trading a second round pick away. Not that that second round pick is like super valuable, but it's like you're not even gaining extra picks. You traded a you got a first round pick, traded away a second round pick. It helps out, but I'd be like, well, if you're going to make me choose between the two, this is way better. I mean, I do know this. Look, one of my buddies who's an agent in the NBA used to be part of Max Christie. I'm assuming he still has the same agency. I do know this. When Max Christie worked out for the Mavericks in the draft, I believe that was the Jaden Hardy draft where the Mavericks loved Max Christie's workout.
Okay.
He got drafted in the second round. Like, it wasn't like they loved him so much they were trying to get into the top 10 to take him. They just loved that, like, if we can somehow get into the late first or the early second, we really want to get this guy. It ended up that they got into the early second and like Jaden Hardy more, or Max Christie had just been taken. I honestly forget. So I do know that out of Michigan State, they really liked Max Christie. Fine. For Luka Doncic? Hell, why didn't we trade Bernard James for freaking Anthony Davis 10 years ago then? Why didn't New Orleans say yes to that? Like, that's about what we did here. But this is frustrating because if you'd have told me, hey, you know what? Big connection with Orlando. That coach and Luka seem to love each other to death. They both, you know, almost look like they want to make out with each other when they're playing the Orlando Magic. How, like, you know, when he's near the bench and everything, they're just smiling at each other. Like, I can't believe I get to see you again, my long lost lover. All right. Then
I'll take Paolo.
Yeah, like, if you call up Orlando and you say, we want Paolo Banchero and Jalen Suggs, I think they have to truly think about that. We don't even want any draft picks.
They have to think about it, for sure.
We want Banchero and Jalen Suggs. Well, those, like, all right, they're younger guys. You know, maybe they're not ready to win a championship yet. But they got it. Dude, we're getting a 25-year-old who's, like, first-team All-NBA all the time. The coach is in love with them. They have a relationship. We might be able to keep Luka Doncic. This might make Orlando relevant again in the NBA. Like, they have to really think about that. You didn't want to make that call because 32-year-old broke down Anthony Davis is the best thing.
Or maybe they just saw how talented Kessler Edwards is and they thought, you know what? We got the next one.
So
he probably played 50 minutes last night.
It is wild, Kevin. 2 years ago, you don't have any of your starters. Your starters are completely different. Whole new roster.
So we're about to talk to Devin Harris, and hopefully we'll get to this question there, but it's a question I want to continue to ask you guys throughout the day. I'm not saying this, but do you think, maybe in some weird way, the Mavericks think that Luka is coming near the end of his high level of play? Like, that's the only thing I can...
Then trade him.
Yeah.
I don't mind trading him. Yeah, that's a great thought. Trade him.
Get more. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
Maybe he has a major issue off the court.
Yeah.
That we can't say we know because we don't know, but maybe he does. And maybe his career is coming to a close in the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
That might be true. So
you still could have gotten. Okay.
Yeah.
Coming up next, let's talk with Devin Harris, see if he can help us make more sense of this, or, you know, maybe we could talk about the game yesterday. We'll see. Next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It has been a wild sports weekend in the Metroplex. And if you missed the other news this morning, Myles Garrett, the reigning Defensive Player of the Year, has officially requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns. But right now, we bring on former Dallas Maverick broadcaster. We love him. It is Devin Harris. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Terrified, Devin.
Yeah,
horrible.
How did you find out about this? Because everyone continues to say, wow, it feels like a shock to most of us. How did you hear about this, and did you believe the first person who told you?
I'll say I found out like everybody else found out. initially, I think when Shams put it out, I thought everybody thought he was hacked. And as the reports came through, you know, it became more and more real. And it's just one of those things that you don't think it ever can happen. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the fact that, like, they kept this really, really tight and nobody got a wince of what they were thinking about. But, yeah, I think just shocked and found out like everybody else.
The prevailing, I'll just speak to me. I'll just speak for myself. I don't want to lump everybody else in, though I know other people have this opinion. The thing that I don't totally understand, and I would love your take or whatever you can tell me about this, is if you wanted to trade Luka because you think X, Y, and Z, I get all of that. This just feels like an odd decision to shop a generational player at one place, which is what it feels like happened and why I feel like perhaps we did not get anywhere near fair value.
To speak to that, I would say what I've heard is we've seen with different situations when guys are shot publicly, a.k.a. the Jimmy Butler situation.
Right.
And I think they were just trying to avoid that kind of circus. And, yeah, now they might not have gotten everything back for him, but, I mean, they still got a pretty damn good player in AD. They really believe in Max Christie, and obviously you got a first-round pick on top of that. But I think they were just trying to avoid that kind of media circus distraction around the team, where they're still trying to win a championship here. They feel like AD definitely gives them a shot to do so, you know, one of the better two-way players. And if you can avoid the kind of distraction that comes with a trade of this magnitude, that they were definitely going to go that way.
I don't know if you remember this at all. We were talking about how Max Christie and Jane Hardy were in the same draft. Do you happen to remember going back? Like, I know Max Christie went a couple picks before Hardy. If the Mavs really liked him, if they would have taken him at 37 instead, had he still been available?
I have not heard that, but I think, you know, Max and what he's done and as a starting player, I think he's turned a lot of heads. As far as his two-way ability, his ability to shoot the three, the Mavs were coveting a wing defender. Now, we get a very young one that's coming into his own. And like I said, that's the first thing kind of Nico told us. He was like, don't sleep on Max Christie. We're really excited about, you know, his addition and what he can do.
Devin Harris joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Was there ever a hint that there was tension on or off the court amongst anybody with Luka? Was that a feeling around there?
It wasn't a feeling. I just think with the looming Supermax contract up and coming, and Nico pretty much said this is in his press yesterday.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
Once you put that on the table, like, you're on the clock. Now, whether he accepts it, which could be a great thing, or he declines it, like, you're on the clock. And they just felt like they wanted to kind of get ahead of it. I don't think, like you said yesterday, there wasn't any indication that Luka would not have signed it if it offered to him, but they didn't feel comfortable going that route, and that's why they made the move that they did.
So, Devin, I'm going to do this. I know you went to the Nets for Jason Kidd, and I don't mm-hmm. know. I have no clue what your audience was like in New Jersey at the time, like if they were excited about you getting there or they were just disappointed with Kidd, but I think Anthony Davis is not going to be welcomed here. I don't think he's going to get booed. Don't get me wrong. It's a very cordial fan base. I've played in New York. You've played in New York. It's different. But I think how's Anthony Davis going to feel when most likely it's not going to be a big reception for him here?
I can't answer that question for Anthony Davis. I do feel like my reception in New York was well welcome, but I think it's a different scenario where, you know, Jay Kidd asked out, right? As opposed to the team, you know, just trading him without any consent. So I think that's the difference that we're looking at here. And I think Anthony Davis is smart enough to understand, you know, the magnitude of what's happened, but also I feel like, although it may not be the reception of, you know, coming down from the heavens, but this move that Nico made is about winning, and winning cures all. So if he can come here and win at the highest level, I think that's what they're banking on.
So let's talk about that a little bit more and how you think, specifically Anthony Davis. I know you were just kind of talking about Max Christie as well. How Anthony Davis fits on this team. I know he'd wanted to play the four more. How do you see like Davis and Gafford working together, or hopefully once we get into the playoffs, Davis and Lively? Like, kind of give us your thoughts about how that front court could all break down.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely going to start him at the four. He may finish games at the five, but he's definitely going to play more four. Defensively, I mean, we're going to be a monster. I mean, between PJ and Max Christie and AD and Gafford and Lively, I mean, we got defense pretty much covered. It's going to be fun to watch. Offensively, I think they still have some things to figure out philosophy wise of how they're going to make it work. I don't think it's a concern, but from a chemistry standpoint, it's going to take a little time to gel. I mean, we saw the situation when we got Kyrie that didn't happen right away. But when we got PJ and Gaff last season, it was seamless. I mean, only time will tell what that chemistry looks like and how it all fits together. You hope we can get it figured out by the playoffs. But I think defensively, though, we definitely have one of the better defensive teams in the NBA now.
How do you feel like the guys in that room take it? Like, initially, it's kind of feel like a shock to them too, and then they got to realize we got to go play basketball again.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think everybody that I talked to yesterday, I mean, from the staff, from players, everybody was a little shocked, a little shell shocked. Now, have to go on to play a team like Cleveland after a move like this, I don't think everybody was in the right mindset. But like you said, yeah, we're still professional. Everybody's still got a job to do. Hopefully, guys coming back from their rest and playing against Philly tomorrow would be a better outing. But yeah, I think I don't think anybody would blame guys for being a little shocked and being out of sorts after that, after making a move like this.
For Max Christie, you'd kind of talked about it, but for people not familiar, this is somebody who's moved pretty rapidly from second round pick to starting essentially half of the Lakers games this year. What all does he bring to the table?
Well, he's been guarding pretty much their best player on a nightly basis. I think he's also shooting about 38-39% from three. So, we get another 3-and-D type of guy, young, athletic. And like I said, he just kind of fits into the time frame. And they were, like I said, they're really excited about that addition. They were looking for another wing defender, and they secured that.
When you think back, though, to the Luka time, do you have a specific thing that sticks with you about him? Is there a play that you're going to always have like snapped into your mind about, and that's what that dude was whenever he was here?
I mean, there's so many. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can we just, put it down to one? I mean, my first year with him, I mean, the shot in the corner against Portland, right? Watching him score 73 against Atlanta. The shot against Rudy Gobert in the Western Conference Finals. I mean, those are some of the ones that just off the top of my head that always come to mind.
The tears, sorry. Okay. The tears are starting to come right now.
Nico remembers him giving up a wide open dunk when the Mavericks started off 5-7. He remembers he couldn't emotionally control himself in game three of an NBA Finals that was still available. So that's what Nico remembers.
What would be your message, Devin, then to the fans? Because I know Nico's like kind of concerned with the fans. More importantly, you've said it a couple of times, like it's about winning and winning now and potentially in a tight window. What would be your message to the fans who are like, I don't know what to do this morning. Like my favorite player is gone. Yeah. The guy who I have all the jerseys of is gone.
Yeah, it's definitely tough emotionally, especially when you're so much invested in a player. And I feel like when you draft a guy and you watch him grow into this global superstar, like everybody's kind of with him. But I would just probably say, let's look for a load of patience. I mean, we don't know what this trade is going to be like. This is going to be kind of a wait and see type of thing, but the motivation behind the front office is, they believe this move gets them over the hump. Now whether that happens or not, only time will tell, but we got a pretty good player in return. And whether you think it's enough or not, I mean, Anthony Davis is a great two-way player.
Yeah.
And he's won on every level that he's played at.
What's the boldest thing? Go ahead.
I just got to ask for patience. I mean, like I said, I understand the upset of the fans, and I get it. But, this front office made this move with winning a championship in mind. And whether you agree with that or not, I would say just give them a little bit of patience.
I'm really glad that in my personal life or my professional life, bold moves that I make don't have to be addressed by everybody.
By everybody in the city.
I don't know how you feel about that. Like, if you make bold moves in your life and only your family knows about it, and they're like, I don't know about that, but nobody questions you, that feels much nicer than, I appreciate Nico facing the media and everything yesterday and answering the questions.
I mean, when you make a move like that, like, yeah, you gotta face the music, and you know, he believes in the move, and he's got everybody on board. Obviously, ownership had to sign off on it, and like he said in the press conference, like, whether this happens and be successful, only time will tell, and that he'll be judged on that at that appropriate time. But I think right now, I think there's a lot of there should be some excitement about what this could possibly be in the near future.
Well, this is how I felt whenever you got traded away, though, Devin. So this is two times in my lifetime.
It definitely gave me a little bit of PTSD, I'm not going to lie. And Jay Kidd brought it up in the press conference. Like, you know, I've been part of big trades. I'm like, yeah, you have.
Well, man, thank you very, very much for all the insight. And we'd love to talk with you, obviously, anytime you're free.
Well, for sure. Appreciate it, guys.
There you go. Devin Harris right here on 105.3 The Fan.
He's doing everything he can to try and help us get through this, Kevin.
I get it. Look, and Nico did say one thing that I was like, I'm probably inclined to agree with that, but man, this is really putting it out there on the table. If it doesn't work, like, this is all you'll ever be remembered for a lot of us. But he goes, and when you win, hopefully that will take some of that away. And I get that.
I don't know. This is the thing.
Interesting.
I don't know. If Chicago had traded Michael Jordan, would they, after the first three championships, you know, and he leaves and everything, but they're like, you know, now we're trading him. Are people like, you know what, though? We won, and that was great. Or are they like, no, it's the greatest player we've ever seen walk onto a basketball court. Why are we doing this? Why are we just going to give him to somebody else? He's a guy that we drafted. He wanted to be here. He loved this part of it. Why would you do it? It's one of those where you're just like, you just want to know the real why. A lot of times, Kevin, for me, it's how much of things are spin and how much of things have another story that we don't know.
Yeah.
And then how much of it's true. I think there's three things that are always involved there.
Plus, there can be people out there who believe what they believe that are just heavily in the minority.
Yeah.
Like, you can, that doesn't mean you're spinning.
Nico might completely believe that this move is going to be the difference because, man, we could not get him to stop whining to the refs. It was really affecting, and that's the biggest problem, or whatever it is. He could totally believe that.
This last part probably won't surprise you, but remember in 2020 when Mark Cuban said, if I had to choose between my wife and keeping Luca, catch me at my lawyer's office preparing for a divorce. Mark Cuban came out yesterday and said that he had nothing to do with this Luca trade.
Oh, so he didn't have to go to the lawyer's office?
Well, I chose his wife.
Yeah, I guess. Man, that would
shame to show. He really had nothing to do with this.
No,
he has nothing to do with
it. Yes.
He cheers for the basketball team like we do, except he has about a 7% ownership stake.
So the people that were crapping on this morning, I know we've done that in the past. This is not on him. Although I do think it would have been hilarious if he put out on social media, I guess I chose my wife. Like, I do think that would have been a funny bit.
You know how women are.
Yes, no. I know, PJ.
Thanks, PJ.
Coming up next, reactions from players, media, and other famous folks to perhaps most shocking deal in NBA history. Next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to let some folks call in at the top of the hour. But right now, I wanted to go through some of the other people reaction. Or if you want to bring up the thing from Mark Stein, Corey, I think that
give me a minute, Kevin.
That is very fascinating.
I love Mark Stein. I unfollowed him too.
Because you're just, you don't want to
explain that.
The
explain
basketball
that, Mike.
Thing.
You just unfollowed everybody?
I'm done with the NBA. The only people I'm following that could give me Mavs stuff would be Detlef Schrempf, Dirk Nowitzki, Dana Larson, and Leslie McCaslin. Everybody else, I love you if I unfollowed you. It has nothing to do with you. I don't want to follow this. I don't want to follow this league anymore.
The short of it was that the Mavericks were over Luka and his nutrition, him wanting to work outside of the facility on his nutrition and his health and injuries and stuff like that. That was part of it. That's a small part, but they were essentially the word, Kevin, that we saw was over Luka. So that's from Mark Stein, and I'm
about as plugged in as it gets with the Mavericks.
Feels like he was rubbing people the wrong way. And the talent, no matter how good it was, they weren't willing to keep working with it.
Now, Dirk tweeted out the face. I think a lot of us with the kind of raised eyebrows and worried, like, huh? Yeah. Patrick Mahomes on Saturday evening tweeted out, wait, what?
Yeah, that's the reason Patrick Mahomes was at the sitting on the side of the edge of the court.
I think they might lose the Super Bowl because of this.
That would actually be amazing if he's like, I was shook.
He was by there. Luke.
And he followed up and he goes, I'm sick right now. And
he was literally there to watch him a great player play greatly.
Tyler Smith said it's got to be a glitch in the Matrix. Some people at Lachlan's were just, you got to be effing kidding me, bro. And Tristan Thompson, Luka getting traded from Dallas has to have a deeper story behind it. This doesn't just happen on a random Saturday night. Max Crosby, excuse me, they did not just trade Luka. And CJ McCollum, it goes on and on and on. McCollum goes, I can't really tell what's real or fake anymore on these apps. Luka really going to the Lakers or not? I think it was O'Shea Jackson.
Yeah, I saw his video.
Yeah, who?
He's doing a wrestling podcast.
Yeah, and they were like, hold on. He's telling his co-host, hold on. I'm sorry, stop. Hold on. Wait. What? And like, you could tell the other guy in the podcast like was very concerned that like
and
something.
And almost irritated.
Yeah, but like he couldn't be all the way irritated because he was like, if something happened to like his family or something,
yeah,
I definitely need to like relax. But then he was like, Luka got traded. And then was it Devin Booker who said Luka, a different Luka, crap, I'm blanking on the last name at the moment. And he was like, that Luka? And he was like, no, the Luka that you're thinking of. And he goes, what?
You guys, yeah, everybody thought it was a joke. Every single person.
So let's go to Kevin Durant. Cut number 5. And he told us this. This was not on one of his Twitter accounts. I think he usually gives out frequently very well thought out answers. This is Kevin Durant reacting to the Luka trade.
Insane. It was crazy. Damn, would have never thought Luka Doncic get traded at this age, you know, mid-season. Yes, the NBA is a wild place, man. And he can get traded, then anybody's up, you know, for grabs, you know. So, yes, for the fans, you know, by spectating, it's pretty fun. I know it's kind of nerve-wracking, though, probably for Luka and everybody in Dallas, LA, AD. So everybody involved, I'm sure, their heads are spinning right now.
I really like that he included us Mavericks fans. And he was like, everybody involved in the trade. He's like, I get it. You guys are involved in this trade. Like, you might not technically be involved, but you're involved. And he goes, but if you're just a fan of sports, you're probably like, man, this is effing wild. And Jalen Brunson, April Fools, right? Micah Parsons, yo, what the F is going on? Joel Embiid, wow, no effing way I'm going to start? No, I'm just kidding. He just said, no effing way. And it goes on and on. Ariel Helwani said it was one of the most stunning trades in North American sports history. And it happened at almost midnight on a Saturday when plenty of people are making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see how if you open up social media, or maybe you're trying to ignore that one text that you know you shouldn't respond to, but you kind of want to respond to, but you probably shouldn't respond to, Alec. And you see And you see all this news and you're like, that can't be real.
Luka Garza was what Booker
Luka
said.
Luka Garza, yes, thank you. Sorry. Shows you. That's who Devin Booker was like. They traded Luka Garza. Also, like, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
But
the people, I appreciate the fans that went down to the AAC and had the little funeral. Did you see the video of them carrying the casket and the signs that they were putting up? And I was like, man, I would love to see even more people out there. Like, that would have been, but I didn't know how long that would. I know they were tearing it down this morning. They were like, nah, let's get all this stuff down from here. We can't leave this up here.
You can get 50 to 70% off your Luka jerseys at your local Dick's Sporting Goods or Mavs shop here pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm really glad we didn't carry over any Luka Maverick stuff for Peace-a-thon. Like, we actually do have some carryover Peace-a-thon items that, like, maybe we got right after or like right before the auction that I was like,
you think Max Christie will donate next year?
Yes.
Sure.
Hey, I hope you
We lost one Max.
Yeah.
Gotta get another.
We'll get that one.
We get Max? We lost it?
Maxi Kleber.
We have two. We still, I guess we have two Maxes. Two.
Did you see Rhett Lashley's tweet?
Yes, I did.
I'm a ball coach in the sports world, so I really try not to be critical of other coaches / sports leaders for obvious reasons. But after almost 24 hours trying to figure out the reason to trade away a generational player, I've still got nothing. Feels way overthought. I sure hope it works out for everyone, but sure hate it for our city to lose such an icon who embraced Dallas. Thank you, Rhett Lashley, for speaking out on that.
I really
appreciate the coach in Dallas at SMU speaking out that way about it.
So I want to go to cut number 7 because I just want to get this in from Sham Sharanya, and then we'll go to David Aldridge, who might have had my favorite social media post about this whole thing. This is Sham's first.
This came out of nowhere. This is maybe the most stunning trade, definitely that I've been a part of in recent NBA history as far as it was never clearly out there. And you saw two teams in Rob Pelinka with the Lakers, Dallas Mavericks, Nico Harrison there doing this deal. And I'm told Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, the players, coaches, a lot of people on both sides with the Mavericks and Lakers had no idea. I can assuredly tell you it's a fact. LeBron James had no idea this was coming. Anthony Davis had no idea this was coming. I'm told Luka Doncic is still stunned about this trade.
Now, that leads us to David Aldridge. David Aldridge has been around this league for a long time. This is the tweet he put out. And I feel like this encapsulates a lot of things for a lot of people.
Nico won Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I've been covering the NBA. This does kind of feel like the 9th episode of the first season of Game of Thrones. Because you're like, that's the main guy.
Yeah.
Yes. The whole show. What?
Why?
So I'll figure out later how Max Christie and Anthony Davis and Nico fit into all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But David Aldridge, I've been covering the NBA for 37 years. Almost nothing that happens. Deals, free agent signings, coach hirings, firings, rises to the level, as the great Ben Bradley used to call them, holy S stories. You just get used to the unexpected.
Yeah.
This is a holy S trade.
We don't even know what to say.
I've
unfollowed David Aldridge too. Sorry.
Okay. So
not your fault.
If you said anything useful in that segment, Mike has unfollowed you.
You know, the other thing too is Mike's gotten rid of all baskets in his house and most of the balls, but you know, he's still a baseball guy.
Did you put your clothes in the laundry basket? And he's like, no, I put them in the laundry hamper.
And this isn't against Luka. I'm going to sell every Luka card I have. I'm going to sell I have a couple of Luka shoes that I bought that I never worn. I'm getting rid of everything.
Dallas Card Show coming up next month. All right. Coming up next, if we're out of things, we could turn it over to the people.
Let's do it.
877-881-1053. One of my questions is, did the Mavericks fail Luka? But you can give us whatever Luka thoughts and opinions you want, as long as you don't swear. Like I did a couple weeks ago. 877-881-1053. We'll take your calls next on The Fan.